course, we do give you a warm welcome tonight to God's house, and we do trust that you will know the blessing of God, and may the word of God be a blessing to each one of us who have gathered. We do give you a welcome if you're here physically in the building, if you're watching at home online, whatever way you are watching, we trust that you'll know the blessing of God upon you. We're very glad tonight to have with us again Reverend Trevor Baxter. We enjoyed his ministry this morning, and we're glad to have him back with us. He's no stranger. We know him from coming in and out the church, so we do welcome him. And this evening we're very glad that his wife, Mrs. Baxter, is here with him, and she'll be bringing a couple of messages in song during the meeting. So to them both, we do give them that warm welcome, and we trust that they'll feel at home here in the building. We do ask you to remember the meetings during the week. Obviously, we're still the summer months. The prayer meeting and Bible study, Tuesday night at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, just for that 1 hour. And we pray that you will come. The speaker will be Mr. Andrew Irwin, who's due to commence his studies for the ministry in September. So he'll be going into college this year. So do come, support the meeting, support our brother, and join with those of like precious faith around the throne of heavenly grace. Our own minister, currently on holiday, will be finishing on Tuesday, the last day of August, and so he'll be back in full swing and operation from Wednesday, the 1st of September. And just as a reminder for the elders, there is a session meeting on Wednesday night, so we're starting straight in. Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. And then the elders again, presbytery, meeting by Zoom on Friday night at 8 p.m. Brethren, if you could remember those meetings, please. Next Lord's Day, family worship, 11:30 a.m. The gospel service at 7 p.m., preceded by the time of prayer, 6:20, 6:45, up in the youth room upstairs. And our own minister, the Reverend Smiley, will be back to minister the word of God. The soloist at 7 p.m. will be our sister, Mrs. Natasha Atchison. So do remember that meeting. You'll be made most welcome. And next Lord's Day as well is the building fund offering. So bring in your tithes and offerings for the work here, as the Lord has blessed you. Some other announcements just a little bit further afield. The Sunday school will recommence on Sunday the 12th of September, God willing, at 10 a.m. Parents, can you take note of that and encourage your own and other children to attend? And then in an advance announcement for the young people in relation to Saturday night, the 11th of September at 6:30, a joint youth fellowship fun night at McKee's Farm Shop, sports, games, barbecue, and that ice cream van. So do remember that. If you're planning to attend, please inform your youth leaders or minister by Saturday of this week. That's the 4th of September. Again, just briefly, we bring to your attention those that have been bereaved, our brother David Patton and Mark, his grandfather. David's father, Mr. Edmund Patton, passed away at the early part of the week. The funeral was on Wednesday. We offer the sympathy to the family at this time, assuring them of our prayers. Remembering again those that need our prayers, our sister Mary McFadden, Aaron McBurney, James Dalzell, Isabel Gilmore, Carl Stripp, we bring them to you, we bring them before you, and we do trust that you will continue to remember these folks in the prayer time and bring them before the Lord. They need a touch, and some of them are going through great difficulties. Just remember them, each one, and pray for them on a daily basis, please. That's all the announcements I have to make. I'm going to ask the Reverend Baxter to take control of the rest of the meeting. We're glad to have him, And we do pray that the Lord will give him that help that he needs as he brings the gospel message tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. It's good to be back tonight. And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless us as we have the fellowship here in the gospel. We'll sing the first hymn, the opening hymn, please. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Keep in our seats, please, as we sing. It's hymn number 224 in our own hymn book, of course. Thank you. Please, in a word of prayer tonight. Eternal Heavenly Father, once again we come before thy throne of grace, in that worthy and precious and all-prevailing name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that name that destroys the devil's works, that drives back the powers of hell. Truly, Lord, Satan trembles at the name of him in whom we dwell. We bless thee for the victory of Calvary's work in many of our lives. For that day, for that evening, Lord, when as lost and guilty sinners, we came to Jesus, weary and worn and sad, we found in him that blessed resting place, and he has made us glad. Oh, thanks be to God that brought to us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we come to another solemn gospel hour, when the message of Christ, the reality of eternity, needs to be brought before men and women. Lord, in Jesus' name, we are praying for help tonight in this gospel service. Help this preacher, Lord. We have a solemn subject this evening. Help this preacher to declare it faithfully and truthfully. Bless Mary as she would sing in a moment or two. Lord, may she too be encouraged, and may we be encouraged listening to the gospel and song. What we pray for Ballygowan, we pray for our churches, every place where Christ is preached. We pray for the sick. We pray for those that are led aside. We remember our brother, the Reverend William Beatty, tonight. Lord, we pray for William that you'll draw near to him too, and many others, that the hand of God be upon them. Remember the Reverend Fitzsimons down there in Mullaghlass, so long with this old so-called long COVID. Lord, bless Paul tonight. Bless Lindsay Wilson too. And many more, Lord. Perhaps even some from the fellowship here in Ballygowan. Just bless and undertake. Now, Lord, draw near. Grant to us each one help from heaven. And may this go down as an old-fashioned gospel meeting for the glory of thy name. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to ask Mary to come, please. She's going to bring a couple of messages and song just now. Thank you. I think you're coming into the pulpit, aren't you? They decided that because we live together every day of the week, she'll be all right coming up into the pulpit.
Summer and winter. faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Is thy faithfulness.
lovely to be able to sing about our Saviour, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. I want to read some verses before we sing another hymn from the scriptures, from the book of 2 Samuel and the chapter 14, please. 2 Samuel chapter 14. We're beginning at the first verse. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. And Joab sent to Tekoa and fetched thence a wise woman and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner, and put on thy mourning apparel, and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that hath had a long time mourned for the dead. And come to the king and speak in this manner unto him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. And when the woman of Tekoa spake to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and did obeisance and said, Help, O king. And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, I am indeed a widow woman, and mine husband is dead. And thy handmaid had two sons. They two strove together in the field. There was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him. And, behold, the whole family has risen against thine handmaid. And they said, Deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him, for the life of his brother whom he slew, and we will destroy the heir also. And so they shall quench my coal which is left, and shall not leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the earth. The king said unto the woman, Go to thine house, and I will give charge concerning thee. The woman of Tekoa said unto the king, My lord, O king, the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless. The king said, Whosoever saith aught unto thee, bring him to me, and he shall not touch thee any more. Then said she, I pray thee, let the king remember the Lord thy God, that thou wouldest not suffer the revengers of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. He said, As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of thy son fall to the earth. Then the woman said, Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord the king. And he said, Say on. And the woman said, Wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, in that the king doth not fetch home again his banished. For we must needs die, and there is water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Amen. We'll end there, please, at the verse 14, and we know that God will bless the truth of his word to all of our hearts. We'll sing another hymn together, please, remaining seated. Alas, and did my Saviour bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? We'll keep our seats to sing, please.
Thank you.
turning to the Word of God, folks, as we find it in the passage we read. I never remembered to get you to stand or to ask you to stand for the opening prayer, but we're going to have a wee word of prayer now, and maybe it would be a good time for you just to stand again for a moment, please. Let's all stand. Lord, it is with praise and thanksgiving that we turn to what is an infallible and an inerrant word. Will you help this preacher, Lord, with his weakness and infirmities, to rightly divide the word of truth, to proclaim in simple terms that any can understand the great truths of the gospel of God's grace. Speak to hearts tonight, and come, Lord, now and abide with us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The text is found in those words in verse 14, particularly the opening statement. It says, "For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any persons, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him." If you go back just a couple of chapters for a moment to 2 Samuel chapter 12, you'll read in verse 11 these words, "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbour, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son." This prophecy sadly was fulfilled. David lived to see the awful sins that were committed in his own family. Rape and murder and rebellion. What a lesson for every parent tonight. You don't live unto yourself, you know. And David was to learn that lesson and pay the price bitterly. Yes, the man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, lived to regret some of the things that happened in his family. Amnon, his son, violated his stepsister Tamar. 2 years later, Absalom, her brother, killed Amnon, then fled the country, as you know. And old Job, he sent for a wise woman, as she's called in verse 2 of the chapter. And she, when talking with David, uttered these words that are the text for this evening. I want us to look at them very carefully and quickly tonight, and to note four simple things that we see in this verse of Scripture. The first thing, and the very obvious thing, is there is before us a telling reality. We must needs die. Now that's something that surely goes without saying, but this woman says it anyhow. You see, beloved, as we know, death is universal. The facts speak for themselves. Some 60 million people a year on this planet go out into God's eternity. It's every 2 seconds. 120 people a minute, 7,200 an hour, 172,800 a day. It's an awesome number, isn't it? The most common thing that happens to mankind is death. The statistics tell us that the number of deaths is greatest in the first year after birth. And the next time it's around 77 years. I'll be 73 on Wednesday, getting close to that figure But the reality is, 70, many of us have passed it, some long ago. And the devil, he not want you to think about that. He wants you to consider life and living, having a great time, sinning your life away. Because according to the words of the apostle, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in upon them. How blessed a thing to be ready for death. A number of years ago, Fred Greenfield and I visited a man in hospital. An elder in one of our churches. It was evident as soon as we laid eyes on him that he was near death. He couldn't speak with any great volume, although he could speak, and he did speak. And that man, as he lay there, the very door of death, friends, was truly rejoicing. He told us that the nurse had said to him, naming his name, "We can give you some kind of medication that's going to prolong your life and let you live a little longer." And he rebuked that nurse. He said, "Dear, I want to tell you something. I don't want death to be hindered now in my life. I'm looking forward to my passing into the presence of Christ. I'm ready to die. And I want nothing done that's going to prevent it. For I'm so sure of it. I'm looking forward to it." Way back in the 1st of July, 1555, John Bradford was martyred. He was the chaplain to King Edward VI. Going out to Newgate Prison in a wagon to West London, he was heard to shout over and over and over again, "Christ, Christ, none but Christ." Oh, folks, to face eternity with a faith like that, that's what we should strive for and aim for. That's the only way to face death, you know. Because death is coming. I don't say that to be morbid or frighten people. But if it does, well, that's fair enough. Because this is the truth. I have sat with people, and I'm sure some of you have done the same, and watched them, literally watched them die. I remember sitting at a bedside of a dear man who was, well, he was very near to all the family were gathered around him. And I noticed something that none of them did. And I said to the oldest son, naming his name, I said, "Listen, I think your dad has gone. I think he has slipped away while we've sat here talking round his bed." The nurse, of course, came running in, and she immediately determined that this was so. He had died. But we believe and trust that he died in hope. Went out into the great eternity, redeemed by precious blood. Oh, friend, we must needs die. It's not something that's an option for us. The only thing that can interfere with that is the coming again of the Lord Jesus. But we must needs die. It's a telling reality. But then there's secondly here a timeless rule. It says this, "As water spilt on the ground cannot be gathered up again." You can't get your life back. Oh, how many people have said, "If only I could live my life again, I wouldn't do what I did do, and I wouldn't live the way I did live." You have one chance of redemption, and it's here and it's now. When the Muslims invaded Persia, in the 7th century. They broke down all opposition, and they finally rounded up the king, a man called Harmosin. He was led forth to die. Before his execution, he asked his captors for one last favor, a drink of water. It was granted. And as he raised the goblet to his lips, looking round in terror at the brandished swords of the executioners, his captor saw the fear in his eyes and said, "Harmosin, you will not be touched until you have drained that goblet of water." Later on, the poet captured the time and said this: "Quick, the king dashed the goblet down to earth with ready hand, and the liquid sank forever, lost amid the burning sand." The captor was true to his word. The king's life was spared. For all the scientists in the world couldn't put that water back into that goblet. Friend, it's now or never. This is life, you know. You can't gather it up again. Listen, did you know, and I'm sure most of you did and do, that God records everything you say and you do? In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 14, we read this: "God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And when you go out into the great eternity, this is what will happen. Isn't eternity a solemn thought? A man called Arthur Stace, an Australian, an illiterate man, but on one occasion he heard a clergyman quote the words, "Eternity, eternity." And for almost 40 years, that illiterate ex-alcoholic, Arthur Stace, roamed round Sydney, and in beautiful copper plate writing, in every curbstone and every wall he could find, he wrote in a beautiful way the word "eternity." It had such an impact on many people that when the second millennium was ushered in Australia, the year 2000, the Australian government had that word of Arthur Stace's beamed across the skyline, I think over the Sydney Opera House: "Eternity." And a composer called Mills and a poet called Dorothy Porter combined and created an opera based on Stace's life. Oh, would to God people in Ulster tonight, maybe even someone here, would give thought to the great eternity. Because there's only one life. It will soon be passed. And only what's done for Jesus will last. Your life cannot be relived here, but God will recount it on that great day. In the book of Romans, chapter 2 and verse 16, let me read the verse. Romans 2, verse 16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." And then the gospel of Luke, Dr. Luke, in chapter 12, and verses 2 and 3. He says, "There's nothing covered," the words of Jesus, "that shall not be revealed, neither hid, that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. You'll read similar words in Matthew 12. Folks, there's a day coming when all your hidden secrets will be revealed. For it's open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There is thirdly in this text, in this verse, what I have called a timely reminder. It says in verse 14, neither doth God respect any person. God is no respecter of persons when it comes to their natural state. He's impartial in that sense. Oh, there are many people will say tonight, and some in this province, and a lot in this province, oh, hell's all right for real sinners. The terrorist, the gunman, the criminal, the thug, the murderer. They deserve it. But not me. God won't damn me in hell. I'm a good person. And for me, God will be partial. Not according to Matthew 25. The righteous, yes, into life eternal. But the unrighteous, to eternal destruction and damnation. 1,000 times, no, friend. God doesn't think like that or act like that. But when a poor and guilty sinner comes in true repentance and faith, then the Lord Jesus Christ will receive him and will take him up. Come unto me, he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's wonderful to think, isn't it, that the Lord loves us. The verse tells us in the latter line, doth he devise means that has banished, be not expelled from him. Here's the thrilling remedy to all of this problems. Here's the remedy, and it is thrilling. For God has devised a means, and there is a means. You know, there's no plan B. It's Calvary and nothing else. In verse 11, and we haven't the time to go into it all, but in verse 11, this woman makes reference to the cities of refuge that were established in Old Testament times, where God devised means that of people who had done wrong and murdered and so on, if they got into those cities, they would not be expelled from Christ, from God. What a picture of salvation. Hebrews tells us in chapter 6 of those who have fled for refuge. There were 6 of those cities strategically placed. And all a guilty person had to do was get to one of them. And as long as they were in that city, they're safe. And friends, Jesus Christ is our city of refuge. And as long as we get to him and dwell in him, we're safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe from corroding care. Here's a remedy for sin. You need to flee to Christ. You need to taste and see. My, that the Lord is good. Let me read you this verse from the book of Deuteronomy. It's the last verse I'm going to read tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 19. And I'm reading from verses 2 and 3. Thou shalt separate 3 cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coasts of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into 3 parts, that every slayer may flee hither. Here's the way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. But you know, it's only as you trust him and know him that you can ever prove that. I think I may have told you this story before in a previous encounter here, visit, preaching in the hills of Ohio in America. After preaching, traveling a big distance to get to preaching, in a wee country church, we were taken to this farm nestled in the hills of Ohio. A beautiful place altogether. And the loveliest of people. When we got out of the bus that we were in, the minibus that had brought us from the church, first thing I saw was this huge Bramer bull. Now, I've seen Friesian bulls, Ayrshire bulls, Charlie bulls, but I'd never seen a real Bramer bull. That's the boy with the big hump on its back, a bit down size, like a camel. It was massive. And I was very dilatory about going near it. But anyway, that's only by the way. But the lady of the house had prepared a dinner. Now, in America, they know how to do this too, just like Ulster. But they're inclined to go overboard a wee bit. And she brought out this big silver platter. Like this. It was massive. And it was full of steak. Then she brought out another one. It was full of chicken. And at that time, it's a few years ago, I could have eaten better than I eat now. But when I saw that steak, like an old dog, I nearly started to salivate, you know. It was lovely. I could smell it. I could smell it. And the one that she set out for me was so big that she needed a second plate to put the second half of it on. It stretched over nearly two plates. I want to tell you, I cleaned it all at just the pass. I'll tell you that. I didn't want to insult the woman, you see. But here's the thought. I saw that steak. I knew it was good. I was absolutely convinced it was a lovely steak, as it was. But not until I tasted it. Not until I got it into my mouth and started to chew it, did I realize how good it was. There's a wee verse in the Psalms and it says this, and I'm finished. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The wee man in the Martyrs used to play when he prayed, Lord, it's better felt than telt. Man, it is. When you taste and see of Christ, he's sweeter than honey from off the comb. He's more precious than gold. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's my Savior tonight. And I love him. And he first loved me. Friend, if you're not saved, I would exhort you this evening. Come to him. We'll not sing a closing hymn. We'll just close in a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. But I want you to know, the Lord loves sinners. And if you're a sinner tonight, he loves you. He's willing to save you. Oh, I would be willing to save every sinner in Ballygowan and in Ulster. I would be willing personally to do that. But I'm not able. You see, I can't do it. But he is not only willing. Praise the Lord. He's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Will you trust him? May God help you to do that for Jesus' sake. We stand, please, for a wee word of closing prayer. Father, we thank thee tonight for the reality of the gospel, that he took my place and he died for me, a vile and sinful wretch. To make this wretch his treasure, he died. Write the truth of your word in every heart. And Lord, speak with clarity and authority tonight. And if there is one among us not saved, not sure. Give them grace to repent and believe the gospel, to stay behind and speak with us of their need of Jesus. Lord, answer prayer. Part us now with thy blessing and in thy favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.